Good morning and welcome to Renovating in WA. I'm Sally Barker. Joining me on the show today is Sue Daly from Into Property and Vic Jakovic from QA Painting. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, this is an exciting part. I like this one.
Ah,
how painting transforms a property. All right. So, Vic, what should we be looking for in a painter?
Look, first of all, the first thing you should be looking at, they've got to be a registered painter because it will keep them accountable. Uh-huh. That's important. I think the first impression does count. I think you should always look at a person on how they're dressed, how their car is, how they speak. That's probably the first 2 points, but definitely to be registered.
How do we know if a painter is registered?
Simply, you can look them up on the Painters Registration Board, and you can find their number through them. So mm-hmm. that's probably the first thing you can do, just to make sure they are registered.
Mm-hmm. And a registered painter, I mean, it's not easy to become a registered painter, is it? You've got to go through a process?
You have to go through a process. Most people go through a TAFE system where they do their apprenticeship for 4 years, and then to become a registered painter. So you get your trade certificate, then to become a painter, a registered painter, you have to then do a course. There's a couple of courses that you do, and once you do those courses, then you apply for registration.
So what's that? That's like 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, it's basically, it's 4 years apprenticeship, and then the courses you can do through your apprenticeship, or you can do it after. So you can do it through the night, or you can do a day course. There's a couple of different ways you can actually do it. So basically, you'd say 5 years altogether.
Okay. Yes.
And the courses are in addition to your apprenticeship, aren't they? They're the courses that you have to do to be a registered painter.
That's
on the
correct.
Registration board.
Okay. That's right.
And yeah, the other things I would ask of a painter as well is how long they've been on the job. Examples of their work again. This is the same thing we've always said before. Examples of their work, referrals from previous clients. And, of course, you know, all trades nowadays, they've got a Facebook page. Go in and check it out.
Yeah, I certainly would. I'd certainly inspect people's work if you had to. It's happened to us before where people really wanted to have a closer look, and they certainly can. We've got phone numbers of people and clients' names, so definitely have a good look.
So you
check
can do that.
Check their website out, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the trades that are the good trades, these are the ones where the clients are happy to show their work off. So,
and certainly you ask for permission of the clients whether they can be a referee.
Okay.
And, you know, don't mind to accept a phone call from any particular person. So
yeah, and they would probably be a reference on your website or your
Facebook page
as well anyway.
That's right.
All right, well, what's the key to a great paint job? How do we know if you've done a good job or not?
Well, the first part is that, well, we used to use in TAFE the 5 P's, which is poor preparation prevents poor performance. Say that once. So, but we simply use the three steps, which is protect, prepare and paint. So the preparation is the key to any of the painting. So mm-hmm. if you get the preparation right, the rest will follow. So preparation is certainly the key to a great paint job.
So in preparation, are we talking about, like we've spoken before, protecting furniture and flooring and those kinds of things?
Yes, so firstly you would protect, which is cover all your furniture, your cupboards, flooring, take the curtains off, make sure all surfaces that you don't want to get painted, basically cover them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then the preparation side will come into it, scrape off loose paint. If there's any plastered walls that need to be sealed with the correct sealers, water stains, make sure they're covered with, the correct sealer. Any metal surfaces that need to be correct primer or correct paint applied to that surface. So that's your preparation, and then you've got your paint on top of that.
Oh, hang on. You bring a vacuum to a job.
Absolutely, yeah. Vacuum cleaning is the most important thing. Once you have prepped, sanded and got everything ready, definitely vacuum the whole house clean, because there's nothing worse than walking around. You painted a wall, dust is going to flick up from the floor onto the wall, and you certainly won't be happy with the finish then.
Remember,
especially if it's gloss enamel.
And the painters normally start, so with the demo, we've done all of the demo, and predominantly what we do is we get the painters in to do all of this prep work before they do any final finishes. So we get them in to do all the prep work so they can do like a base coat on everything. Then we bring all the other trades in, which will follow from here on, and then they come back in and finish it all off, put all the final coats on, and once everyone's done all their work. So their preparation is what gives a good finish to any job.
I mean, we've all seen places where there've been, you know, the multi builds where the base coat's gone on and they've not bothered to go and put anything else on the top. I've been into people's homes that's just, you know, gouges out of the walls and, marks everywhere. Correct. Yeah. So then in that instance, you're back at square one, aren't you, if you need to repair that?
Absolutely, yes. Well, in some cases, yes, that's right. So if you have to refill things and so forth. But that's the reason why we do all the base coats first. We let all the trades go in and then we go in last. So we don't mind to refill things up if we have to because we've only done the first coat on the walls or, you know, even undercoating on doors and frames. Mm. So then you don't mind to do that because you've left that till last anyway. So it's all good. It's all part of the process.
How many coats are we talking? How many coats do we usually do?
On brand new houses or say if you had like a renovation that you had new walls, it's a three-coat system. You have to put a sealer and then a two finish coats on top of that. That's for the walls.
Right. Yes. Well, with the preparation as well, let's mention the time frame because the thing is the time it takes for them to do that protection, so to put all that protection on and then to do all that preparation before you paint, that's really time-consuming. We've watched you do it and watched how you go about it. It's not... The painting's probably the quicker part, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. It certainly is, yes. Mm-hmm. Preparation does take certainly the longest. I mean, just to plastic up an average 3x2, and that's, you know, that includes taking off blinds and so forth and covering carpet, kitchen. It's almost a whole day's work.
And windows.
Just on that part. And windows, absolutely. Yeah. And you're masking up everything. Some people like to, if they're not renovating their kitchen, we do... You mask up and plastic up all their cupboards so no dust gets in the cupboards, so then they don't have to remove their glasses and teacups and plates and so forth. So that eliminates a job for the actual client as well.
Mm. But the actual preparation time, that when you're scheduling, that's what you've got to ask these trades for, because that you wouldn't think would be the longest part of the job, but it actually is.
Mm. So it is.
So we've prepared. How do we know what paint we need? What type of paint?
For the ceilings, it's fairly straightforward. Flat acrylic would be our choice. Obviously, it hides a lot of things on the ceiling, and you don't want light reflecting and off a shiny surface. You would see more off the ceiling, so that would be the best choice for the ceiling part. Off the walls, personal preference. It could be low sheen, matte acrylic. Again, personal preference with that. Everybody likes their own, but that's the two that we generally would use ourselves. With the doors and frames and skirtings, you can use a gloss enamel, you can use a satin enamel, personal choice again. There's also an aqua trim where it doesn't smell as much as an enamel. Mm-hmm. So there's a few different options you can use. Again, you can run through those options with the client and just see what they want to choose.
Well, that's what I was going to say. There have been, you know, there's a lot of awareness around toxicity in you know, products. So how safe are the paints now? And can we choose ones that maybe are less toxic than others?
Certainly. Look, there is a lot of green products out there, and they are getting better than what they used to be. Before, they were okay, but they are getting better. They're getting more full-bodied and the coverage is getting a lot better. But definitely there is a lot of different options out there now than there ever used to be before.
And you take protection as well. So when you're dusting down and cleaning and filling and everything else, you're wearing your masks.
Absolutely.
And if they're on site and there's another trade on site, you definitely wear your earplugs and everything like
that
as well. So, it's taking that protection. They've got to look after themselves as well. So, and the other thing, when it comes to the doors and the door frames, the gloss seems to be the popular thing at the moment, doesn't it? That high finish on the doors and the door frames and the skirting boards. So,
that's right.
Is it easier to clean?
Gloss enamel, in my experience, is certainly the easiest to clean, without a doubt. It's more, I think it's the most durable, and I think the coverage of that as a paint product actually is the best as well.
Does that take longer to apply?
It does take longer to apply, and it does take longer to dry as well. So in the winter months, you do have to allow for extra amount of time, and you have to make sure, as Sue mentioned in the schedules, everything's scheduled correctly. Then no one's working with us when we're actually glossing in the house.
And another thing,
because it does take long to dry. You don't want anyone to touch it. So.
And when they are glossing, this is part of the scheduling, you actually need to make sure no other trades are on site, because when they are glossing, you actually can't have people walking in and out, the dust, etc. So you've got to actually keep the house basically sealed.
Pretty much sealed.
And, yes, it does smell, but, yeah, you don't want to schedule other trades to be on site when they're glossing. So that's where the scheduling, again, it all falls back to the scheduling and make sure. And if you are unaware, then make the phone call straight away and say, look, can we reschedule you? I've just found this out. So get on top of it as quickly as you can as well. It helps these guys do their job properly, but it also gives you the finish you want at the end. So you've got to work with your trades.
So how long should the house then be aired out before you move the family in?
Okay, so in summer, I would assume in about 3 days, it could pretty much disappear. Mm-hmm. In winter, it takes a little bit longer because obviously it needs air to dry, and obviously there's a lot of moisture in the air, it takes a bit longer. I would say at least a whole week.
Yeah.
At least a week.
And there's normally, once they finish their painting, that you've got in the schedule, if you think of the schedule, that's when the the carpet might be laid. If there's skirting boards, the carpet is normally laid after that. The window treatment's normally installed after you finish painting. The cleaners have to come in and clean up, so whether you're doing it yourself. So there is at least a couple of days' work still to go anyway after all this painting's done. So I would estimate approximately a week's worth of work once the guys have finished their painting. So
the fumes are not overwhelming.
Should disappear, that's correct.
And in a renovation, when you are there, the doors are constantly open, so that's another thing to be aware of.
Helps.
So I don't think we mentioned it previously in one of the other ones, but securing the pets, making sure there's no pets running around and things like that, that's another big one as well. So it's the same for this. Mm. You know, the doors will be open. Except when you're glossing, of
course.
That's
right, except when we're glossing. The next day, definitely everything open and aired out as quick as possible.
Yep.
Now, when we come to colours, is that an area painters get involved in, or is that in the design stage?
That could go either way, but it generally is in the design stage.
Mm-hmm.
Some painters like to have an input as well because they love playing with colours.
Yep.
But definitely in the design stage, and obviously the interior designer helps the client decide on the colour, and then everything's ready to go from then.
So tell us, if we've got, say, a small space, what's the recommendation?
Well, for a small space, you definitely, well, in our
light
experience,
colour.
We'll definitely go for the light colour, because as that will make the room appear bigger, and if you go dark, obviously it'll appear smaller. So you'd want to try and maximise the room, so if you can, room space when you look at it, so lighter colours for small areas is definitely the go.
Well, you've got the general rule as well. So as you say, the colours are normally predetermined at the design stage. So the rule of thumb is for anybody, if it's internal, light sends the room out, so it opens the room up. A dark colour brings the room in. So if you want to actually make a room feel smaller, if it's a massive room, go with a darker colour. That's internal. But then externally, it's completely the opposite. Mm. So if you want to make a fence disappear, paint it a dark colour. We've done many exterior fences in woodland grey so that the plants stand out and the fence just disappears behind. So internally, white keeps it open and light, and dark brings it in, and outside the white one stands out and the darker one actually disappears. So two different ways of looking at it.
That's right.
Yep. You would have gone through lots of different trends in your time as being
a
painter.
Yeah, most certainly. There's been a lot of different trends, that's for sure.
I bet. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Renovating in WA. Sue Daly from Into Property and Vic Jakovich from QA Painting, proud station sponsors.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you very much, Sally.